Coming up on TMS PM, that is a very cold puzzle you have there.
The things you find in Vegas.
Burn the passports.
Is Pepsi in an empty field okay?
App time.
Your Twitter questions and more on this episode of TMS PM.
Whoops. I mean this. Gosh, dang it.
This is the morning stream. But it's not in the morning, it's at night. TMS PM.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the PM edition of the morning stream for December 29th, 2017. It is 1:30 in the PM here in the Mountain Time Zone with me, Scott Johnson, and that guy, Brian Ibbett. Hello.
Oh, well, hello, Scott. I guess... Waving for the podcast listeners, probably, you know, they can't hear me wave.
Yeah, they could hear
I can wave really loud.
Maybe you'd made a gentle breeze that they could hear.
Look at that. What is the sound of one hand waving?
Hold on, still. Sounds like someone you should hang up on if that sounds like that on the phone. Just saying. Hello?
What are you doing right now?
You ever get a creepy call like that? I've never had one. It's always in
movies.
No,
I haven't.
Yeah.
No.
It's always in movies.
I did the crank calls when I was a kid. Never like the obscene phone calls, but I did the crank calls.
Yeah, because we were kids. That's what we were supposed to do.
Exactly.
It was our job as children to...
Boy, we were horrible, too. We did, I think the worst we ever got was like name shaming, like where you basically, you find somebody's name in the phone book that's really, that you know, that could have a double meaning. You call them and...
Oh, really?
Say, like, is your name... Dick. Is your name Dick Peters or whatever, you know?
Yeah, Dick, you can look up Richard Peters.
Yeah.
Dick Peters.
You're horrible. I've got no explanation for that.
I do. You were a youth.
No defense.
You were a youth.
All right, whatever.
Everyone does dumb stuff. That's when we learn. That's when we're supposed to learn, you know, some of the things about polite society. Sad thing is some people never do.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them become...
President of the United States of America.
Hello. This, could you imagine a crank call?
Yeah, I can, actually.
Yeah.
Hey, Putin.
I make the best crank calls.
Is your
Vladimir first... Putin?
Button.
Button.
That's pretty good. Is your refrigerator running? We don't have those in Russia. That's what he'd say. Well, anyway.
We don't have a refrigerator.
No. No. How is everybody? Is everyone at home doing okay? I hope so. Because we got some stuff for you. It's good to be back in Missouri.
It's great to be back in Missouri.
All right, great. we have to share with you a PM edition of the show brought to you by you and your help over at patreon.com/TMS. And I'm happy to announce that our end of year The Instance episode is out. Patrick and I recorded it this morning, and it is on the feed. And if you... want to listen to a show where we talk about the wow that was in 2017 and what it might become in 2018.
The wow that will be.
Check that out, because we had listener calls as well, and that was fun. So people called in and went
cool.
Swimmingly and heard from a whole bunch of people. A guy at 1 o'clock in the morning in Australia called in.
Wow.
A dude in the Netherlands, a bunch of U.S. people, somebody in Michigan where he says it was like negative 25 degrees today or something. So, yeah.
No butt nipple.
No butt nipple at all. So that's to say, no Terpster. He wasn't there. it was fantastic, though. If you would like to, if you want to check it out, you can. By the way, so he's busy with their annual Christmas holiday, New Year's charity thing they do over there at the Yogscast deal. Mm-hmm. And they're up to $5.1 million so far.
Holy cow. All right, I'm done. I'm done with the Coverthon.
Yeah.
Why even bother with Coverthon?
It's gross. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they do it. And I said to him, you need to do like a let's get Terpster a Ferrari event. And just some everyone will buy you a hot sports car or something. Because my gosh, it's a lot of money.
Boy, I never want to hear him say at BlizzCon, oh, Brian, could you buy me a drink?
Could you spot me this one? I'm good for it. Exactly.
I didn't bring my wallet. Could you?
I don't know why you were giving him like...
I left my wallet in the room. All of a sudden, he's Cockney. He's Henry Higgins.
Yeah, he's got two guns and a smoking barrel now. however that goes.
Listen to him enough to be able to capture
Two Shot. What's the name of that movie? Two Hot Guns and a Golden Barrel. What is it?
Two smoking barrels.
How does it start though?
Lock, stock,
and two smoking barrels. There you go, Guy Ritchie. Right. Gosh, Scott, get it right. Anyway,
got me so caught up on the two smoking barrels. I'm like, wow, what is before that? It's like two and a half smoking barrels in a pizza place.
There it is. Yeah, that became a big career for one of them. So here's an email we got from Patrick. Not that Patrick, a different Patrick. Who says, Scott, good morning and happy holidays. Hope you and your family have had a wonderful Christmas. We did. Brian's sitting right here, guys. He's right there. Look,
Patrick, talk about me like I'm not here.
He can hear us.
Or don't talk about me like I'm here. Something like one of those two.
He can see us. He can hear us. I mean, Brian's right there.
Yeah. Oh, gee. I'll just sit over here. I'll just sit over here and drink my V8 Splash. Thank you very much. You guys go on.
Ooh, I do like a V8 Splash. I do too. You mentioning that makes me want to go get one. I may have to get one. Anyway, he says this. After you guys said my name on the air from the telling of my spilling taco sauce on a kid from school and even playing a few mashups I've put together. Props to Jamie for his excellent submissions, by the way, he says. It's clear that none of my friends also listen to the morning stream. That's about to change, he says.
Oh, good. Okay.
He says, I've begun carpooling, and I plan to unleash the torrent of nerdy goodness that is TMS, and I was hoping for a shout-out to my buddy Brian, if not, no big deal. Thanks for all you do, and here's hoping that that shout-out will spawn a new member of the Tadpole. Well, other Brian, like the 10th Brian
Patrick's
I know.
Friend, yeah, Patrick's friend Brian.
Right. Yes. You should listen to this show because it's great, and you're a dummy if you don't. So listen to your buddy, and that's
here,
it.
We'll get you all caught up really quick here. Number one, we've got scooters. Number two, it's too early for a fish sandwich. Number three, love the show, though. And number four, we'll test the ship's phasers. Oh, we're done. All right, you're set.
You knew.
Now you're all caught up.
You had that all real good. That was really good.
It really just kind of rolled off the tongue.
Yeah. Oh, and then this is a new one.
Sex.
We play that a lot. So anyway, welcome new Brian. There are plenty of Brians here. You'll find lots of Brians to like and know here on the show, The Morning Stream. True. And we hope you continue to listen.
I've been watching, I know this isn't in the notes, but I just got to mention it. I've been watching Cheers, kind of off and on, like having the background.
Sure.
Got to the episode today where Diane leaves, spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah.
Diane leaves to go write her book, and it's after she and Sam almost get married for like the fourth time. And, halfway through the wedding, or really pretty much at the end of the wedding, she says, all right, let me go write my book, and I'll come back. I'll be back in 6 months. I'll come back in 6 months.
Yeah.
That's a really sad episode, man.
It is sad.
I've forgotten about that.
Yeah, it gets you. That one gets you.
Totally did.
Especially because you know it's... if you knew at all that she was leaving the show.
Right.
It really... I hated it at first. It really bugged me. And I'm glad that What's-Her-Name turned out to be pretty good on there because...
Christy Alley.
Yeah. Because for me, it was like, well, I don't know if the show's going to work. Like, it may not be as good as it used to be.
It certainly was a little scary on that very next episode when you come, it's the bar, but then it's like... Woody and Carla and nobody else, and Sam's off going around the world in his boat and
having a midlife. Yeah,
that's right, exactly.
Yeah, it's like, wow. It is sad. That, you know what? Not wrong. That's as sitcoms go, that one gets you right in the unit. It really there.
Does. Totally does.
Yeah, punches you right in the beanbag.
And I think the John Cleese episode might be the funniest episode of Cheers ever. But. I'm having a hard time thinking of a funnier one.
He's really good. It's like
the Jeopardy episode is pretty good too.
Yeah, that one's all right. But it's like they hired Basil Fawlty to come
it totally
be on the show.
Is. Right. Yeah. It's that same John Cleese that's like sarcastic and bitter and.
I had forgotten he'd done that at all. So that was like, John Cleese is on here, and then it suddenly became great because he's great. And I love him. Doesn't have the energy he used to have. I mean, we all get old, right? But that kind of frenetic, moving around all the time, freaking out kind of thing he used to do. He doesn't really do that anymore.
Yeah. No. He's gotten more... He's mellowed with age. We'll say that.
Like a fine wine or a cheese, really. You're like an old cheese, John, please. You're John Cheese.
So J.K. Grammer in the chat room says, I'm on my fourth watching of Frasier. Of course, Kelsey Grammer is my cousin. Is he really? I mean, I know you're J.K. Grammer, but is Kelsey Grammer really your cousin?
Yeah, they're not related, are they? How can they be?
How can they be?
They can't be.
Tell us, J.K. Grammer. We're listening.
Let me tell you something about Frasier. Frasier is amazing until Niles and Daphne get together. Then that show goes to shit. And I don't think it's just because of that relationship. I don't think it's just because that tension's gone. I think that's part of it. But I think the biggest reason is something changed in the writing, the writers, the something. And it got dumb after that. I don't know what happened, but right up till then. And it's pretty deep into it, so you'll get tons of it. But
yeah.
Anyway, J.K. Grammer, you're lying. I think he's lying. Oh, he says no, not really.
He says no, not really. Yeah, well, that was always such a funny part of the show, is the fact that Niles had Maris.
Yeah.
But then he was just pining away after Daphne. And that was it lent itself to some great comedy, and they shouldn't have broken that.
Nope, they should have kept it. But whatever. Who am I to say anything mean about a multi-award-winning television show from the 2000s?
Right.
Not me. Not me. All right.
Anyway.
What now? This, how about?
Radio today is different. Powerful networks span the nation from coast to coast. Shortwave radio girdles the globe.
It's the evening news, brought to you by...
Brought to you by Coverville. We just completed the 2017 countdown, which is the equivalent of BuzzFeed saying, here are the 40 best covers of 2017, except I do it in a better way that's not clickbait. Go to coverville.com and listen to the 40 best covers of 2017 today.
I like it. All right. Some dude made a fully functional Rubik's Cube out of ice.
Okay.
I don't know why this would happen, but
I think that makes it non-fully functional, right? Because one of the functions of a Rubik's Cube is to not melt.
Yeah. It says it right on the box. Will not melt.
A mostly functional Rubik's Cube.
Yeah. Well, over the years, this is a UK-based guy named Tony Fisher. He's been collecting these things for a long, long time. From 2016, he became a Guinness World Record holder for world's largest Rubik's Cube. And now he has fashioned a fully functional Rubik's Cube made out of ice. And he explains, this is my Rubik's Cube made from 95% ice.
Whoa, yeah. Wait a minute.
That's what he's saying. Yeah,
made
I know.
Made from 95% ice.
Brian likes his 100% ice Rubik's Cubes. Okay?
Yeah, what's the other 5%?
We're going to find out, I think, here.
Okay.
It says...
Oh, metal screws and springs.
Yeah, because you got to twist it. You know, you can't make...
Whatever. That apparently he just isn't very devoted.
I love how you said whatever.
Whatever.
Whatever, man.
Here's the dumbest part of the whole thing. Also, this quote-unquote fully functional ice Rubik's Cube.
Yeah.
Is he at least could have, like, put some sort of tint in the water to make it freeze with colors. Although, you know, when you've got a three-sided corner piece, how are you going to do three colors on the three sides?
Oh, good point. But still, let's say you made one that just wasn't, you couldn't turn. I don't know how important that was to him. But I would have rather have seen colored ice as just a sculpture, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of suspended like that. That's cooler than making it move, because you're only going to get it to move for a little bit, and then you're screwed.
Exactly.
Yeah. Let's see. It says all 8 corners, all 12 edges, solid ice. The 6 entries are 50% ice, and the core is plastic. Or 6 centers, rather. Sorry. The screws and springs are regular metal ones. The puzzle shown in the first attempt worked surprisingly well, I think. I am thinking about making others with full ice centers and also fully colored ones. So he's thinking of doing all of that.
Oh, there you go. Okay. I also want to check his math. So he says that the all 8 corners and the 12 edge pieces are solid ice. Okay, yeah. That makes sense. Now the 6 centers are 50% ice and the core is plastic. So if there are 27 pieces in the Rubik's Cube, 6 of them... I guess there's only 26 pieces because there's technically no centerpiece, although he says the core is plastic. So, all right, let's say the core is the 27th piece.
Right.
So basically he's saying that 3 of the centers, so 6 centers are 50% ice. We'll just say 3 centers are plastic, the core is plastic. So 4 of the 27 pieces of that are plastic. I don't think that's 95%.
No, it doesn't seem like it, does it? I think he's got some strange...
Yeah, I think it's the UK math.
either that or he's saying, or what is he saying?
He's 1/6, it's 5/6 plastic, 5/6. So whatever that comes out to percentage-wise.
Well, I'll tell you what I don't understand is they're showing a sped-up video of the thing being made.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it does
work.
Which
is work. Just being free frozen, right?
Yeah. Oh, he. How is it doing it in the shape he wanted? Like, how does it know to put condensation and then ice build form and all that on top of where it lands? Like, that's impressive.
Wait a minute.
Are you seeing that?
Really? Yeah, I'm looking at that. No, you know what it is. You're looking at a reverse video. It's melting.
Oh, he melted it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm like, what black magic physics is this guy using? All right, that's actually kind of impressive. He's playing with it now.
Yeah.
Let's take this out of context. Somebody at home.
That's pretty.
That's really cool. Well done. Yeah. Well done, guy who's way too into that dumb puzzle. I don't like Rubik's Cubes. I like them as a symbol and as a moment in time and all of that. But the actual cube and the puzzle that you do, I've never liked it.
No.
Not into it.
No, I'm fine with the, you know, getting one side done and then just saying, eh, that's all I'm really going
to
do here.
Yeah. I remember one time I was trying to piss my brother off because he was really good at it, my Korean brother, and he beat me at it. So one time I took all the little stickers off. Because you can take this, the colors were just stickers.
Oh, you took the sticker off. Yeah, I did that where you'd like take one of the corners off, rotate it, you know, one half turn, and then put it back on.
I would do it so we'd take, I'd take them unsolvable. All, I took them all off and then put them all back in as if I solved it. So it looked like it was all done. Yeah, that was a smart thing.
That's awesome. Well done.
Yeah, I think I had to admit later that I did that, but whatever. Hey, here's a fun Vegas story. We like Vegas. We talk about Vegas on the show. And Brian just got back from there. We'll be going there in April for the big TMS meetup. More details on that coming up soon.
I'll be going there in 5 weeks.
Oh, what are you going there for? I forgot. What's up?
Tristan's 21st birthday.
Oh, he's going to do the drinky-drinky, is he? Mm.
Yeah, and the gambly-gambly. And, you know, I'd rather be there to kind of manage things and make sure they don't go out of hand. For once, I'm going to be the responsible adult.
I like the idea of that. If he's going to go, may as well go with you.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, listen, I don't know. I know a lot of people that I've met in my lifetime. I don't know anyone who knows him, his way around Vegas better than Brian Ibbett. So, so father or not, you'd be the guy I'd send somebody with for sure.
Thanks. Yes.
Well, how about this one? A dead cougar. That is to say, the wild cat.
Oh, not a woman who likes younger men.
No, or a car. Or a car that doesn't work. None of those examples. like a Miata you might be familiar with.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
A dead cougar was found inside a man's suitcase in the Las Vegas airport. if you're a hunter who's planning on flying, it's probably not a good idea to place any dead animals inside of your luggage. At McCarran Airport, TSA agents stopped a passenger at around 9:50 p.m. on Tuesday. After they found a dead cougar inside one of his bags during the screening process.
Oh, my God. So, okay, so he's a hunter.
Mm-hmm.
He just thought, well, I'll just take it on the plane. This will be carry-on luggage.
And it was legal, too, because he had the tags and the licensing to show that he was licensed to take a cougar or to kill a cougar, to fish, to all the other stuff he was doing. But you can't do it. It's not even illegal, but they're not going to. Why? Who's going to ship a dead animal or let you do that on a plane?
Well, I guess TSA doesn't stand for transport shot animals. Transport stiff animals.
That was really good. I mean, I assume the guy's going to take it home, you know, mount its head or whatever, stuff it.
Have it stuffed. Unfortunately, he pulls it out of there. It's going to be in the shape of a box, basically.
Yeah. Can you? Oh my gosh! It's like when I buy rats to feed our snake. They come all mushed like they were inside of a big can with a bunch of other mice.
Right, right. It's like
doesn't look right. They're the shape of like the box they
it's
came.
Like, it's like what the marshmallows on the inside of the bag of Jet Puff look like.
Yep. It always makes you feel a little sad for these rats. But whatever.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, this was the year, actually, 2017, the year we went from mice to rats with the snake. That's how big the snake's getting. Yeah.
Oh. What's the snake's name again?
Norman.
Norman, that's right.
Norman the snake. Norman! I need to feed him today. And we do that. We say, Norman, you old poop, all the time.
Of course. Yeah. That's what you have to say.
It's like, did Norman eat his rat? No, he's shedding, so he left it in the corner. Oh, Norman, you old poop, we'll say. Anyways,
I'm in the woods. He got lost. Starting to freak out.
There you go.
Catherine.
Speaking of airports, Taiwan had to destroy or will be destroying 200,000 passports.
Oh, wow.
200,000 passports have to be destroyed because they accidentally include an image of Washington Dulles International Airport.
Their passport on the Taiwanese passport.
Yeah, because you know you have like a little image on the inside. Bhutanese Dulles passport. Oh, we got to play that. Where's that guy? For that new Brian guy, he wants to hear this too.
That's right. All right, Brian guy, yeah, you got to hear this new this clip.
Here you go.
Bhutanese passport.
There you go. That guy's the best. Anyway, they've been forced to destroy around 200,000 passports after designers accidentally used an image of Washington Dulles International Airport instead of its own Taiwan Airport or International. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs, or MOFA.
Yeah.
That's what it says.
I think they just made that up. I mean, I know those are the initials of Ministry of Foreign Affairs, but the fact that it's that, you know, it's not even all caps.
Yeah.
MOFA. You know, yeah. MOFA.
Feels like the article did it.
Like you hear the term all the time, MOFA. That's what it stands for, is Ministry of Foreign Affairs.
Yeah, it's pretty dumb. Yeah. They admitted on Tuesday it would need to recall 285 passports already issued and pulp the remainder.
Wow.
Literally destroy it all. You can use it for other stuff, but yeah, pulp it. let's see. Excuse me. Error came to light on Facebook. Someone noticed the outline of the airport on the document pages intended to be the airport that serves the capital of Taipei. Was in fact Dulles International, DC's bustling hub right here in the East States United. The first person to spot the blunder captioned the photo as the 51st state of America before the image was widely shared on Weibo, which is a microblogging China thing. It's like their version of Twitter over there. MOFO initially denied the allegation, adding that the
what
image.
What does my wallet say?
They said, let's see, where was he? Oh, adding that the image of Taiwan, blah, whatever, was 100% Taiwanese scenery, but later backtracked, explaining that the designers had sought online inspiration and mistook Dulles for Taiwan's largest airport. The mistake was somewhat understandable after it emerges that the Terminal 1, finished in 1979, was modeled on the 1962 design of architect Aero Dulles, who made the Dulles Airport.
Oh, okay. So there's a little bit of a connection there that the Taiwanese airport is modeled after Dulles.
Yeah, they weren't just ripping it off.
A couple other great examples of this where people just don't do the research and they go to Google image search for something. recently, I think my uncle sent this to you the day he was here for Coverthon, was a Denver Broncos towel that had the Denver Broncos logo and then showed the Salt Lake City skyline. Behind it, like they just didn't do the research to say, all right, here's what Denver's skyline looks like. They just said skyline.
That's funny.
It looks like Denver.
That's really funny. I didn't know about that.
But the best example, and kind of goes back to the whole Vegas thing, is that a stamp issued by the U.S. Postal Service. I remember this like from 5-6 years ago.
Sure.
It was depicting New York, representing New York, and had a picture of the Statue of Liberty, kind of looking up at her, like up from her chin. They had to issue an apology because instead of using a photo of the actual Statue of Liberty, they used a photo of the Statue of Liberty from Las Vegas's New York.
Oh, no way.
Casino Hotel. Yes.
Okay, something about that is familiar. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's like something about, like, there was a thing under her chin, like a bolt or something under her chin that was like the obvious differentiation. Is like, oh wow, that's beautiful.
You could see why they'd do that, because in their head they're thinking, oh well, it's just a replica, what's the difference? But it turns out,
right, exactly,
a difference. Yeah. Well, here's the weirdest find of the week. Clearly,
okay,
somebody found a Pepsi machine, like a vending machine,
yep,
in a New Brunswick potato field.
Oh,
and police are looking for its owner. It's an unusual find in an unlikely place, a full-blown Pepsi machine in a New Brunswick potato field. New Brunswick is in Canada, yeah?
Canada, yeah, far eastern province.
They have a lot of bowling there, right?
I don't know if it's related to the Brunswick bowling, but I know we had the St. John newspaper was there, and there was a woman named Tracy who always called for support, and she just had she had a little bit of an accent. It was just the cutest thing. I always loved talking to Tracy.
Did you go up there and visit that location?
Never been to New Brunswick.
Mm. not to make
yeah, only place in Canada I've been, only two places in Canada I've been are, well, I've been to the Calgary airport, but I've been to Edmonton and Toronto, both lovely cities.
Nice. Right across the street from each other, right?
Right across the street. Basically, if you go through the back door of the Tim Hortons, yeah, you're in Edmonton. If you go through the front door, you're in Toronto.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And don't trip on that poutine.
I love that there are Canadians listening now who are probably new to the show, and they're like, what are they talking about?
They don't realize that this is what we do. We do this, and they're money assholes.
It's an old joke, and we keep telling it. Anyway, this Pepsi machine, now after attempts to solve the mystery, has fizzled out. See?
They said fizzled.
The Mounties are appealing to the public's health. RCMP say, that's the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, by the way, mm-hmm, say the vending machine was abandoned in a field off the Michaud Road west of Grand Falls on the 29th of September. It's been a while. They released a photo Wednesday of an apparent intact machine lying on its back going,
oh. That's one of those biggies. I mean, that's like somebody had to haul it out there.
Yeah.
Surely there's like, you know, tire tracks or something. Or
you'd think there'd be some evidence of some kind that you could follow. Here, chat, you can see it.
Some guy just said, oh, this doesn't work anymore. I know, we'll just find a field and leave it there.
It reminds me, it's that episode, like that episode of Bob's Burgers where Gene finds the talking toilet.
The talking toilet, yes.
Yeah, that's what it reminds me of for some reason.
Who was the voice? Wasn't there somebody famous that was the voice of that?
Oh, of the toilet? Yeah, it was, we got to find that out.
I know.
Bob's
Who was that?
Burgers.
We got to see if we find it before the chat room tells us.
Toilet voice. John Hamm's who it was.
John Hamm.
That's right. Yeah. John Hamm.
John Draper.
Yeah. That was great that they used him for that. What a great episode that was.
Totally was a great episode, yeah.
Bob's Burgers, you're the gift that just keeps on giving. I don't know if you heard this, but the Bob's Burgers movie that is now greenlit and happening is a musical.
And oh, good.
I'm so excited for that because they're that's so good awesome. At those. Oh, they're
they
so
really
good.
They really are. Like, that's one of the best parts of the show is what song they're going to pick to use for their little ending credit sequence.
Yeah, that or even just mid stuff. Like, there's a really sweet one where Bob and Tina, or no, not Tina, Louise. Louise are doing a song together, like a father-daughter song. And I forget the name of it, but it makes my oldest daughter tear up when she hears it. Like, it's got the sweetest little dad-daughter thing going on, and it's great. It's this, like, wonderful little tune. It should win, like, Tony Awards if it was a stage thing. So I'm telling you, that's going to be great. I can't wait for Bob's Burgers the musical. I'm stoked. Stoked.
Yes.
They've earned it. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back... Oh, what does that remind me of? They've earned it. Oh, it's that guy. John Morton... Not... What was his name that would go, they earn it.
Oh, yeah. John Houseman.
John Houseman. That's it.
Right. Not the White Shadow. What was his... it was another TV show where he was the headmaster of a class. But it was like a E.F. Hutton commercial or something.
E.F. Hutton. That's it.
E.F. Hutton.
I think it was E.F. Hutton, but the thing I always remember him from is he was Arthur's butler, right?
Would you like me to wash your... for you?
I forgot that line. I used to be way into those Arthur movies. I don't know wrong with me.
First one, anyway.
Yeah, the second one was pretty bad. Anyway, that's not neither here nor there. Brian's got a song that is both here and there. What do you got?
Here's what I've got. I've got music from a New York-based surreal rock band called Wool Sucker. Wool Sucker. Whoa. I just don't like the name of that at all.
All right. Me either.
Produced by Kevin Salem, who also produces Rachel Yamagata's music and music by Yola Tengo. This is really, really good stuff. It's kind of a combo of garage rock. There's a little bit of, I'm going to confess that when I first heard this, I was thinking, oh, this might be cover of Heart-Shaped Box by Nirvana. It kind of begins a little bit like that, but let me know what you think. I really like this. You'll find these guys at woolsucker.com. They are, influenced by folks like Chris Isaac. And Woolsucker brand new LP is called Plastic Wings. Here is the song, Rusalka, Drown With Me.
The ocean and you.
Was a trip. I liked it though. That was cool.
Yeah, good stuff. I like the when that keyboard thing kind of kicks in, that dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee, like in the after the first couple verses, like, oh, all right, this is getting into its groove now, man. I like this.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
So Wool Sucker, the brand new LP is called Plastic Wings, and you can find more of their music at woolsucker.com.
Yeah, do that. But before that, do this. Oh, I know that sound. Here it comes. Get ready. Time for us to talk about cool apps that we've been using this week. Well, last couple weeks, really, because we didn't have a show last week because of the holiday. Mm-hmm. Or because of something. I don't remember why we didn't. Oh, because you were in Vegas. You traveled to Vegas. That's what it was.
Yeah, right. It's my fault. My fault, people.
I blame Brian. All right. I tried a whole lot of stuff since we last did this, and I have to admit that I could probably pick any one of 10 different things right now that I've liked. It's been a great end of year. For example, I don't know if this is true on Android yet, but on the iPad anyway, you can get full-blown Civilization 6. Like, not some watered-down thing, not some, you know, cheapy, like the real game.
That's right. And is it still discounted?
It was last time I checked. So it was they're going to charge for the full game. So basically you can get in, you get the first 60 turns for free. It gives you a good taste of everything, kind of know what's going on. That's free. And then if you decide you want to keep it, at the time it was only $29, which you may go, oh, for a mobile game, brr. This is like a full-blown, like, retail feature complete version of the Civ game, Civ 6. And if you already have it on PC or something, then you probably don't need to bother. But if you, but if this is like your idea of a good time, which is laying in bed and playing Civ all night, I recommend it. It's pretty awesome. But I don't know if it went back up or not, because they were gonna, it was gonna go back up to like 49 or whatever.
Okay.
But they had it on sale, and
I gotta make sure I've downloaded the freebie, and I need to try the game, realize that I like it, and then buy the discounted version before it goes back.
That's what I did. If you have even a, like a passing interest in Civilization, it's a stupid, dumb thing not to get, especially if, specifically if you have an iPad Pro. I'd say either the smaller or the larger Pros, it just is a silky smooth, beautiful thing on there. It's real, real nice. Cool. But that's not what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk to you about, I guess I kind of did, but anyway, it's not what I meant to talk about. I'm going to talk about a game called Card Monsters from a company called MU77. Maybe that's like Muzz or MU77 or I don't know. Mall anyway, because I was playing a lot of that Hearthstone dungeon stuff.
Yeah,
it got me playing all the other CCGs you can get on mobile and desktop and stuff. And I just, for whatever reason, I kind of went down a bit of a let's play everything rabbit hole, like I do sometimes. And ended up running into this thing, and I don't even remember where I found it. Some random post somewhere on some list of like the best games of 2017 that you didn't know about or whatever. And this one's called Card Monster. I believe it may be developed in Korea. I don't know for sure. But here's the idea. Imagine if Hearthstone or games like it were reduced down to just 3 cards playable at any given time. Mm-hmm. No boss. You have range characters, you have melee characters, and then you have you know, like weapon abilities or ways to increase armor, things like that in your deck. And the entire match takes less than like 5 minutes to play.
Oh, wow. Okay. Imagine, another big benefit.
Yeah, imagine that. That's the main benefit as far as I'm concerned. But you want the same kind of cool animated quality and fun sort of approach to, like, when the attack is a big one, it's like kaboom, and there's a lot of personality and all that sort of stuff. Graphical flourish, all that sort of thing. That is what Card Monsters is. And I am so happy with this game. I absolutely love it. And it's great for just whip it out, play a quick game, and be done. It's competitive. You play against other people. I win a lot of games, which doesn't help, which doesn't hurt, rather. it's always easy to get into a public game. Not a problem. You unlock packs at a very quick rate, so you're always getting new cards.
Oh, cool. I like the art on this. Wow,
it's gorgeous. It's really neat, neat art, neat stuff, neat gameplay. Very
probably
cool.
More, with the 3-card limit, it's probably way more playable on an iPhone than Hearthstone is.
Oh, way more. I mean, not that you can't play, have a good time with Hearthstone on a phone. I just think anything that can take up to 20 minutes is hard on a phone. I just think that's weird
and
tricky.
Well, plus,
and,
I mean, I like to see the cards larger. I'm getting old and my eyesight isn't what it used to be.
It's not quite what it used to be.
That's right, yes.
But it's there's ways to make your own decks. It's a simpler approach, too. You don't have to be a genius to figure out a decent combo of cards to make a strong game for yourself. You can make multiple decks. You unlock cards. There's a crafting system like Hearthstone. There's obviously a lot of Hearthstone-inspired stuff here, but it seems like the goal was, all right, can we take that feel and that experience, can we reduce it down to something that doesn't take you forever and doesn't require so much of your brain? Mm-hmm. And mobile's so great for that. So I love it. Cannot say enough about it. I believe this is multi-platform and available everywhere. It's called Card Monsters. They kind of had a rough launch with, like, not remembering your login, and you had to go use Facebook again to get the login. And, like, they had some trouble in the first few days, but all that stuff seems to be gone. It's been nothing but stable since, and cool. I totally dig it. So y'all need to pick it up.
Awesome. Let me check that out.
Card Monsters. And it's free. I should say that's free. Doesn't cost you a thing.
Also good. By the way, looked it up. The discounted price for Civ 6... Civilization 6 only goes until January 4th at midnight. So if you wait to midnight Pacific time. So if you wait until after that, you're going to be paying the full price of $60. But if you do it and check it out and enjoy it, then $30 before then.
For a full blown meaty game like this, it's nothing for that. If you don't like that, don't buy it. But if you love Civ games, and you want to hear the sultry sounds of Sean Bean talking in your ear.
At which level does he die in again? I'm trying to remember which level.
You got to get your rocket into space before Sean Bean dies in this one. But it's fantastic and real good. So that's my side recommendation, absolutely. My primary one is this Card Monsters thing. Y'all should get it. It's great. Brian, what did you have this week?
Well, I'm breaking with tradition, Scott. I don't have a game to recommend. This is something that I totally get a kick out of because I like this sort of thing, as you can tell from Coverville episodes that are based on birthdays and events and things like that. So, Scott, do you know, it's December 29th. Do you know what happened on this day in 1890?
Oh, my gosh. A cowboy said, yeehaw, and then everyone left town. I have no idea.
Actually, it's exactly what happened. Well, yeah. In addition to that, the Wounded Knee Massacre happened.
Oh, geez.
The Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, where bunch of 300 Native Americans were killed by the U.S. Army. And they don't know specifically what happened, but, you know, that's something that I'd always heard about. Oh, bury my heart at Wounded Knee and all that stuff.
Sure.
So so getting to learn a little bit more about that in a little bite-sized chunk is kind of a cool thing. The app is called Today in History, and basically it does exactly what you think it would do. It tells you what happened on this date in history. And in addition to major events and headlines, for example, like you said, Wounded Knee happened here today. In 1959, Richard Feynman gave a speech called There's Plenty of Room at the Bottom, which was regarded as the birth of nanotechnology.
Oh, my.
Kind of the launch of nanotechnology happened on this date in 1959. The Second Great Fire of London, the Luftwaffe firebombed London in 1940, killing 200 civilians. It's like all this stuff. It's like, okay, well, for a trivia mind, this is a great resource, kind of getting to learn this stuff.
Sure.
Not only events, but you can click on the little births button and you can find out that today is not only Jane Levy's birthday, Jane Levy from Suburgatory, but also it's the lovely Alison Brie's birthday today.
She is lovely. I like her.
She is lovely. Yeah. So, you know, you can scroll through and say, oh, okay, wow, it's Alison Kedlor. She was born 13 years after me, 1982. How crazy is that?
Oh, she seems much. She seems even younger than that.
She kind of does. Yeah, I think is that whole Community thing made her look a lot younger. She was playing a 19-year-old on Community.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's you know, it's cool that you can be doing stuff on your iPad and then all of a sudden you'll get a little alert every day and say, hey, here's a couple little snippet headlines of what happened today to kind of remind you. Oh, that's cool. Let me go learn a little bit more about that.
Yeah.
And yes, Lesarge, all this information can be found just by looking up a date on Wikipedia. But who wants to do that when you can have all this stuff kind of, you know, in your face with pretty pictures and kind of the, I don't need to learn about the 14th ruler of Patagonia dying on this date, but I kind of wouldn't mind seeing about Wounded Knee. I mean, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And it's free. So there's that.
Yeah, no, I agree. Anyway. Listen, the nice thing here is convenience, you know?
Yes, totally convenient. You can even create a login and have favorites, and it'll always tell you about events that happened around World War II. If you say, oh, I like things about World War II, and it'll tell you what happened with World War II. You can say, I like the Beatles. Tell me anything that happens with regard to the Beatles, that sort of thing. So it's called Today in History. Pretty easy name to remember. And it's a free app, and it's really, really cool.
It's like, what's the deal with the Beatles?
Exactly.
And now you'll know. All right, well, now there it is. Know. What's the name one more time for everybody?
Today in History.
Ooh, okay. I like it. There it is. There's that. There's Card Monsters. There's enough for you to think about there, folks.
Mm-hmm.
So be thinking about that. All right.
Thinky.
What now? Oh, I know. I know what's up. This guy was even in the news, but we're going to do this.
And you can always follow me on Twitter.
All right, time to talk about Rick Perry's Twitter. time for us to read your Twitter questions, as it were. And for some reason, the webpage is locking up on me. Why? Okay, let me try that again. Something Chrome's doing. Okay, there we go. These are questions from you at the AskTMS hashtag, asking us all sorts of things, random stuff. Let's start with Jay DiStefano, who says this. Okay. Worst or best thing that happened to either of you in 2017?
Mine's probably going to be a pretty obvious one.
Give it.
Well, I guess we found out that Tina had breast cancer in 2016, but it was you know, December 2016. But, yeah, of course, best thing that happened was the clean bill of health we got from her most recent ultrasound about a month ago.
That's a bummer that you got both your best and your worst in the same category, though. You know?
Yeah, well, I mean,
what do you expect, though? It's kind of the way it works.
That's the order that you'd want it to be, though, right? Yeah. Like, you don't want to have, like, this great thing that happens, and then 12 months later, it turns into the worst thing. Much rather have the worst thing first that 12 months later turns into the best thing.
I just don't think bad things should happen to people who are nice. That's all.
Well,
there's plenty of buttholes in this world that you could just give all this to them. You know,
I cannot argue with you on that for sure.
For me, best thing was, oh man, I thought I had an answer and now I don't. Best thing was probably, the day Carter got her design picked for the esports shirts for the university team. I thought that was a big deal,
and
I was
super cool.
Proud of her that day. And worst thing that happened to me this year was probably gaining some weight back that I thought I had permanently lost. I'm pissed at myself for that. But don't worry.
Well, you're back on the treadmill. You're doing it. Did you get your treadmill lubed up?
I did. The question is, how quickly will this go? I don't know. That's, you know, well, it takes so much more or less time to gain it than it does to lose it.
It does. There's so much time to lose, more time to lose it than it does to gain it. But if you lose it too fast, it comes right back. So you've got to, you know, take the time to lose it and develop the habits that will keep you from gaining it back.
There you go. Joaquim DeCorte says, if you had to choose between everything George Lucas has created and everything Spielberg has created, who would you give up?
Oh, wow.
And you'd end up losing, this is just a point here, that no matter who you choose, you lose Indiana Jones stuff because...
you're not going to end up with Indiana Jones at all after this.
No, because they crossed over there, so you can't have those. So what would you pick? I mean, it's so easy to go, Howard the Duck and the prequels, I'd definitely take Spielberg, but then you can say, well, yeah, but freaking... You're
giving up all Star Wars. You know?
Yeah, that's hard, I mean, man.
That is really the decision. Star Wars... Or like all that other stuff that Spielberg did, E.T. and a thousand other things. why is the first thing that comes to mind like Batteries Not Included?
I don't know. E.T. He didn't even direct that one. That was just a production one, I think. I don't think he
produced
it.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. I love that. That's the first one you come with.
It's sad that that's the first Spielberg thing. Jaws and
Saving Private Ryan and Schindler's List and
there you go.
Munich.
I always forget about the modern stuff. I always think of like the '80s stuff.
Sure.
I would give up. I hate to say it, and I know, you know, his name is synonymous with bad decisions. However, giving up Lucas means that you also give up the more recent Star Wars stuff because it's all part of the same lineage, right?
Right.
Or do you just give up the original or the first six?
Here's what I do. I give up Lucas because I think that some other equivalent cool sci-fi movie experience could have happened in its place. I don't think he was the only one that was going to figure out a way to do
it. Oh, interesting. So you're saying that he's gone and there's a void left and something else.
Someone else fills the void. And it may even been Spielberg who filled it. I don't know. But somebody else fills the void. Lucas is not the only way you get a cool franchise in space.
I think I need more definition. Like if I give up Lucas, does that mean I don't ever get to see episode 9? Because if I give up Spielberg, I think I'm okay not seeing the next Jurassic World movie.
That's true.
But I kind of be bummed not to see Ready Player One.
Yeah, you would be. I think in the long history of the world, there are going to be two impacts. One will be, remember George Lucas? Yes. Without him, no Star Wars. Then you're going to look at Spielberg and go, remember Spielberg? Yes. Maybe... the greatest director ever, because the guy spanned these many decades. He did such a body of work, such different kinds of work, and some of it really important work. So it's hard for me to swap them. It just feels more important that Spielberg's body of work stays. And I hate saying that because I love me some Star Wars, man. I want it right now. Bury me in some Star Wars. I love it. But he is
outside of Star Wars. I mean, again, you nailed it. It's Howard the Duck. It's American Graffiti. It's THX 1138.
Which are kind of cool. But, you know, that movie's all right. But, you know, and then what's the Willow? He wrote Willow.
Yeah.
Wrote it, didn't direct it or anything.
Spielberg didn't direct it.
No, it was Ron Howard, I think. Wasn't that Ron Howard?
Oh, Ron Howard.
I think it was Ron Howard.
But all right, if you give up, you know, if you give up Spielberg, you give up 1941, you give up Artificial Intelligence with all of its endings, you give up Minority Report.
I love Minority Report. I'm a huge fan of that movie, though. See? This is the problem.
And I want to see The Post.
Yeah, The Post, I hear, is great. You would give up Bridge of Spies. You give up Amistad. You give up Lincoln. You give up Warhorse. You give up...
Yeah,
the dude is so much, man. And he's got... I mean, his impact is undeniable.
Oh, friggin' prolific, yeah.
It's a seismic hole.
It's tough, but okay.
No, Lucas. Someone else will come and make a cool Star Wars-like thing. Don't worry. It'll all be fine. Thankfully, we don't have to live in a world where neither exists. They're both there, and everything's fine.
Exactly. All right, next.
All right. Jay also asks, what have you done in your adult life that made your younger self very happy or proud? Talk on a radio and draw things for a living. That's it.
Pretty much. Yeah, exactly.
If I'd have known when I was 8, that was my dream. I didn't know what form it would take, but those are my two favorite things to do is run around the house with a tape recorder and make my own radio shows and draw. And guess what? I got to do both those things. It took me a while, but I got there. And I think that would make my young self very happy, although I think my young self would be freaked out by a middle-aged man visiting him and saying, I'm you from the future. I think he would
Let me sit on the corner of your bed and tell you something.
I'd go, hey, Mom, he'd say. How about you? What do you got there?
Certainly the podcasting thing. I mean, seeing what I do there. The fact that, you know, I've got my own friggin' Tempest machine. My 15-year-old self would be like, what? You have a Tempest machine in your house?
Yeah.
How rich are you? You're like the kid from Silver Spoons. You're that rich.
Yeah, yeah. I feel that way a little bit about, I know it's not from when I was a kid, but as a young adult, I was way into Blizzard things in the very early days, very early 90s when they just got started. I would love to have known then just how part of my life they would be, and I don't mean just their games, but like people there, and just it's become a really integral part of my existence, and that would be a weird thing to go back and show myself.
Sure
It's a fun little experiment this guy's given us.
Totally. Yes. James, well done, Jay DeStefano.
James K. Grammer. We know him from the chat room here. He says, Scott, if you and Brian could have incense burners of yourselves, from where would the smoke come out of your bodies? Well, that's easy.
I think for me, it's an easy one.
Okay, where?
It'd be like, I would be doing the Ibbit bomb face and the smoke would be coming out of my mouth. That seems like an obvious one.
That is
one.
Good, dude. That's really good.
Yeah.
I'd buy that. I'd buy yours for that. You're just going, like that little 3D print of yourself that you did.
Right, exactly. Yes.
Yeah, minus the penis outline. Jeez, that thing.
Yeah, we don't need that part of it. No,
that was nasty. So for me,
about you,
and everyone wants me to say my butt, but I'm gonna say my ears. I want like a shocked look on my face.
That would be perfect. No, like you looking at your phone.
Yeah, like looking at Twitter.
Reading a Trump tweet. You're reading a Trump tweet.
That's it.
My God, we've got to make these. We got to like 3D print these.
Well, do you know any? Maybe we know someone in the chat worked for like a resin factory in China or something and make these.
We could work together and design something that I could 3D print, and then we could send it off to someplace to replicate it.
That's true. We could, right? You just do a.
How awesome would it be to have little TMS bobbleheads?
Oh, dude, there's so many things. 2018 is the year of the weird shit we make.
If there's anybody out there who knows how to use like Maya? I think Maya. No, not Maya. What's the?
Maya, right?
Well, Maya is an art program. I'm trying to think. There's one that's actually specifically made for designing 3D, but you do it organically as opposed to I'm drawing a box and I'm gonna chamfer the edges and I'm gonna do this thing.
Like Mudbox, but you're thinking of it's not Mudbox. It's the other one.
Right. Or Formata? What is it?
It's like taking a lump of clay and you just start making.
Exactly. You start pushing and pulling.
God, I can't remember the name of that thing. Gosh, dang it.
Yeah.
ZBrush. That's it.
ZBrush. That's exactly it. So if there's any ZBrush experts out there, Let's talk. Let's make something.
Yeah, get us emails, tweets, or something. Get in touch with us, and let's talk. Karen V. Juliet says, Karen says, Scott's old man nipple dream was about his desire to become a grandpa. Really? Why?
Interesting. Okay.
I don't know how that works. Let's do one more of these. I don't know if I want... Okay, how about this one? Bridget says, what tech improvements are each of you hoping for the most in 2018? Well, my tech improvement would be... So it's not so much an improvement as it is a thing I want to come out. I want a mixed reality headset that is not enormous, that doesn't need to be tethered to something, that has good battery life and actually freaking works and has a real field of view than not some little postage stamp. I want that to come out, and I want it to cost under $200. None of this is going to happen that I'm asking for, but right. This is what I want. Right. That's what I want in 2018.
No, that'd be great. I'd love Apple to add the technology for Animojis to the like a firmware update for the iPhone 8 that allows you to do Animojis. Maybe not as well as the iPhone 10, but gives you some firmware. Like basically allows you to do that.
Because you're sad you don't have those, huh?
I'm kind of sad I don't have those. I played with that while we were in Vegas. My dad has an iPhone 10. Yeah. My dad has better tech than me, which is like. Such a flip-flop from the last 15 years.
Yeah, but you'd get sick of it after like a few hours of that and you're done.
That's why I wanted this firmware. I don't want to pay for a whole phone just to have that.
Yeah, that's too gimmicky, but I'm with you. That'd be all right. That's a nice update. Also, can Bluetooth be a little smarter? I know we talked about this on Wednesday, but man, just today I had my headphones in and I was listening to a podcast where they get a little languagey in there. Okay, sure. A little bit of the F-bomb-y, whatever, with some comedy podcast, but I'm listening to it in the privacy of my own earbuds.
Sure.
And then out of nowhere, for no reason, the Echo takes it over, and in the Echo show in the living room starts going, F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-
took over from your AirPods?
Yeah, and it's not my AirPods problem because it happens the reverse direction too. It happens with any device I have.
I wonder if it matters like the order you connect things. My AirPods never had any problem. Like, you know, it's like, all right, well, I need to use my iPad. Put them in. If they're still connected to my phone, little swipe, and they're connected to my iPad. But I've never had it lose the...
Well, I've had three. So there are three conditions that seem to always be in play. It's always a certain time of day. And the only thing I can point to is lots of people using Wi-Fi signals and other bandwidth and spectrum, including Bluetooth, are happening where I live like a ton. That's one of the working theories. For me and a few neighbors, we all think this might be going on. So that's one thing. The other thing we think is just Bluetooth was never designed for you to have eight devices that you could connect to at any given moment. Like it was always just like, like Tom was saying, it's like, here's your phone or your iPod or your device, and here are the earphones you use with it. And that's it. Mm-hmm. And that's all you'd ever have. Instead, I have a list of like 12 things on there. Huh. So I got my watch on there. I got my Apple Pencil on my iPad. I got the earbuds are connected to both of those. The Echo is connected to it. I have a remote keyboard thing connected. Like too many things. Too much taken up the Bluetooth limited spectrum. I just dropped something.
There's one thing that won't ever connect again.
Yeah, that's literally my AirPods though.
Oh, that's funny.
But when I went and I undid the, told it to not forget, but just disconnect straight up from the Echo, it stopped doing it ever. So.
Oh, good.
So I think that may just be a thing where they just argue for control or something. I don't know.
Maybe. But now you won't have the ability to like walk in the room and say, oh, listen to this song I'm checking out and play it over the Echo without doing some dance.
Yep. That's it. Thank you guys so much for your questions. Ask TMS, ASKTMS. It's that simple. That's the hashtag. Use it each week and we'll read it on the PM edition of the show, which happens on Fridays at 1:30 PM Mountain Time right here at frogpants.tv. And if you want to support us and keep this fifth show alive, as well as many other things, go to patreon.com/TMS. You can also find us on the web at frogpants.com/TMS. And of course, on Twitter, Coverville, Scott Johnson, Morning Stream. And you can email us themorningstream@gmail.com.
All of that is exactly right.
Let's get out of here. You got a little something? Oh, wait. First of all, Happy New Year, everybody. Yes. You guys are great. Great year of TMS. Amazing. You're the best part of this year. There was a lot of poo this year, but TMS was not a piece of poo. It was a great, it was a wonderful non-poo.
That's right. And it's all thanks to you people.
That's
you
right.
People.
We love you guys, and we can't wait for the next year of full of TMS goodness. We promise to bring that to you. Okay. Sorry. Brian, go ahead.
We'll be back on the 2nd, January 2nd. All right. How about a request that's going out to two people, two crazy kids who both emailed in and had a request for the 15th. Something happened the 15th that, we couldn't do a show. I think you had a headache or something, or I can't remember.
But yeah, I got that migraine last week. It was horrible.
So this is going out to Heather and Jono. Each of them wrote me separately because of their 10-year wedding anniversary. So I'm going to read Heather's email because it's a little bit longer, and it says everything that Jono says as well. Yeah. December 15th is mine and my husband's 10th wedding anniversary. We went to a trivia contest at our wedding, or we had a trivia contest at our wedding reception that included a karaoke segment, and each table had to nominate two people to sing. Our table nominated us, the newlyweds, of course. We weren't allowed to pick our song. When the DJ chose Love Shack for us, I wasn't even sure if my husband Jono knew it or not. I figured we were going to get booed off the stage at our own wedding reception, especially since Jono doesn't really sing and is a pretty reserved and shy guy. You can imagine my surprise when he opened his mouth and gave the most legendary Fred Schneider impersonation I had ever heard. The room exploded, people were cheering, whistling, howling, clapping, gasping, and making all kinds of exclamations. My jaw practically hit the floor. It was an epic mic drop moment, and I knew then that I had made the right decision to marry this quirky guy who could surprise me and leave me speechless. Happy 10th anniversary, sweet cheeks. Let's hope we make it through 10 more. Signed, Heather. And of course, Jono says some loving and wonderful stuff to her back. So we're going to play a cover of Love Shack, originally by the B-52s. This was something that I had to play at every single wedding I ever did. Like, it was, I think it was the third or fourth song in the, you kind of have this first five songs lineup because you know they go right into each other really well, and you know that you can get them out on the dance floor early on. They were more likely to stay.
Sure.
So first song was Old Time Rock and Roll by Bob Seger, which I can't listen to this day now. I'm done with that song. Love Shack, like that Hooked on Classics thing. It was so done with that.
Yeah.
Anyway, how about this version, which I do love? This is from Pickin' and Singin', the biggest hits of the 1980s, done bluegrass style by the Pickin' On series from 2008. It is Love Shack.
All right, we'll see you guys next year, next Tuesday, right? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. See you next Tuesday.
No show Monday. It's New Year's Day. Everyone take it off and have a nice time and recover from your drinkings. It's going to do it for us. We'll see you then.
If you see a faded sign at the side of the road that says 15 miles to the
Love Shack. Love Shack, yeah. I'm
box money.
Well, the Love Shack is a little old place where we can get together. Love Shack, baby.
Love Shack, baby.
Love Shack, baby. Love Shack. Love Shack, baby. Love Shack. Love Shack, baby. Love Shack. Love Shack, baby. Love Shack.
Says, stay away, fools, 'cause love rules at the Love Shack.
Well, it's set way back in the middle of a field, just a funky old shack, and I gotta get back. Litter on the mattress, litter on the highway, litter on the front porch, litter on the highway. Well, the Love Shack is a little old place where
Love Shack. Shack behavior.
Love Shack, that's where it's at. Love Shack, that's where it's at.
Hugging and a kissing, dancing and loving. Wearing next to nothing, cause it's hot as an oven. The whole shack shimmies. Yeah, the whole shack shimmies. Yeah, the whole shack shimmies when everybody's moving around and around and around and around.
Everybody's moving, everybody's grooving, baby.
Folks lining up outside just to get down.
Everybody's moving, everybody's grooving, baby.
Funky little shack, funky little shack. In my Chrysler, it's as big as a whale, and it's about to set sail. Got me a car, it seats about 20. So come on, and bring your jukebox money.
Well, the Love Shack is a little old place where we can get together. Love Shack, baby.
Oh, Love Shack, baby.
Love Shack, baby, Love Shack. Love Shack, baby, Love Shack. Love Shack, baby, Love Shack.
A little louder, sugar.
Bang, bang, bang on the door, baby.
I can't hear you.
Bang, bang, bang on the door, baby. Bang, bang, bang on the door, baby. Bang, bang
on the door, baby.
Bang, bang
on the door.
Bang, bang
on the door, baby.
Bang, bang.
You're what?
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.